completely froze in place, not knowing what to expect. I peered up at him, trying to keep eye contact like I was required to do. I stood there not saying a word, swallowing the lump that had suddenly formed in my throat. Esteban closed the door behind him. The latching noise startled me.
I'm sorry, Uncle, I stammered.
He folded his arms over his chest, cocking his head to the side and arched an eyebrow, only emphasizing his tall, huge, intimidating stature.
What exactly are you apologizing for, Briggs?
He'd been calling me Briggs since the day I told him to at my parents' funeral. Daisy died in the car accident, as far as I was concerned.
For fighting or for getting caught?
He vaguely added. I looked all around the room as if the answer was written on the walls.
I told you to look me in the eyes when I'm talking to you, Briggs. I won't warn you again, he viciously spoke, snapping my attention back to him.
My mouth parted as I peered into his eyes like he ordered, my eyes widening in shock.
I expect an answer. You're wearing very thin on my patience, little girl.
I...
Señor?
Esteban stepped forward, away from the door, interrupting me. I'll vouch for her. The boy started it all. Uncle Alejandro didn't make a sound. He didn't even move. His eyes shifted to Esteban, who was now standing beside me. An eerie silence filled the room. It was then that I realized my uncle was like a venomous snake. He would never see or hear him coming, but once he struck, it was too late. You were dead. His lip curled upward, but not in a smile or comforting way. If anything, it only added to the tightening sensation I felt deep within my bones that I swear radiated all around us. He nodded, and then brought his right hand up to his jaw. Tilting his head to the side, he cracked his neck before placing his arms behind his back, holding them there. His eyes showed no emotion, no mercy. They were still dark and daunting as always. His expensive suit jacket perfectly in place as he set one foot in front of the other with precise and calculated steps. His Armani dress shoes echoed off the tile floor, one start after another, until he was up in Esteban's face, who didn't cower down either.
If you cherish the legs you're standing on, I suggest you walk the fuck away.
I jerked back, stunned. My stare inadvertently moved to his hands that were still locked behind his back. Realizing he wasn't holding his hands behind him, they were firmly wrapped around the handle of a gun, more than ready to follow through with his threat.
Señor, Esteban coaxed.
I believe you asked me to do a job, and I go where she goes, he nodded toward me. My mouth dropped open and I shouted,
Uncle, I'm sorry that I got caught.
I lied, praying that it would take the heat off Esteban. Uncle Alejandro snidely grinned, ignoring my outburst.
La peladita te tiene cariño, Esteban, he mocked.
The little girl is taken with you. His glare never left Esteban's face.
Con todo respeto, yo también, Esteban replied.
With all due respect, I do too. My chest rose and descended with each word that fell from their lips, terrified of how this would end. Neither of them backed down. My uncle narrowed his eyes at him and swiftly moved his hands from behind his back, releasing his gun. I jumped when he started clapping, the sound deafening in the foyer. He stepped back from Esteban to finally peer over at me. My heart was beating a mile a minute. It was now my turn to answer him.
Someone has a knight in shining armor, Daisy.
He said my name to hurt me, to make me remember who I really was, which was inferior to him.
Briggs,
I simply stated, hating that it had the desired effect he wanted. I saw a gleam in his eyes that he didn't try to hide. Even though it was quick, I caught it. He put his hands out in front of him in a surrendering gesture, dramatically bowing his head.
By all means, Briggs. Since we're all making fucking friends here, how about we cut the bullshit? Yo sé que usted habla y entiende muy bien el español, peladita, he added.
I know you speak and understand Spanish very well, little girl. I didn't falter. I couldn't. He didn't want me to. It was now or never. I could tell myself that two could play his game. But someplace deep inside, a place I just figured out existed, so desperately wanted to please him. Maybe I was looking for approval, gratification, support, knowing deep in my heart that all I was looking for was love.
You never asked. You never asked me anything for that matter, I countered. But I know all about you. My mom told me, you know,
your loving sister, throwing that in there for effect. His eyes glazed over for a split second, and then he blinked it away. Just like that, the cold obscurity in his dark blue eyes was back like it had never left, even if it was only for a moment.
She loved you.
another glaze, another blink.
She also said you loved me, adored me, were her exact words. But since we're putting out all the bullshit, I cussed for the first time, and it felt so foreign coming from my lips. I ignored the lingering sentiment and finally said, you don't love me. You barely even like me. You tolerate me because you don't have a choice. I'm here because I have to be. Nothing more, nothing less. So let's not get it twisted. You're not the hero in this story. You're not the victim either. To me, you look more like the villain in an expensive suit. He smiled. Big and wide. It lit up the entire room. It was the first time in 3 years that I saw the man smile. And I would be lying if I said it didn't make me happy that I was the reason behind it. He took a seat on the leather couch. With a look I couldn't begin to understand, he brought one leg up, resting his ankle on the opposite knee. His arms spread along the back of the sofa. The massive couch suddenly seemed small in comparison to my uncle.
Bueno, Uncle Alejandro rasped. I guess we can thank Esteban here for finally letting your balls drop. Trust me, Briggs. You're Martinez. It's in your goddamn blood.
He lowered his eyebrows, concentrating solely on me.
You skirn around my home like a fucking mouse? A home I brought you into out of obligation to your late mom, might I add, ends tonight. Whether we like it or not, you're here to stay.
I took in his words for what they were. My uncle was not a typical uncle, maybe not even a typical man. He proved that then more than any other time. He was proud when I stood up to him, and any other person for that matter, taking pleasure in seeing my tough side that I never knew existed. He condemned all the traits my parents had implemented all my life. That wasn't my life anymore, though, which only made all of this more confusing. I completely forgot that Esteban was still standing beside me. He hadn't moved from where he was planted. He was listening to Uncle Alejandro as intently as I was.
Let me tell you a little something about me, Uncle added.
He leaned forward, resting his elbows on his knees, hands clasped in front of him in a prayer gesture mockingly. He looked me up and down, slowly cocking his head to the side. An evil grin spread across his handsome face. Breaking the silence, he spoke with conviction.
I'm your god, Peladita. I'm driving the bus to hell.
Chapter 4. Austin. 2 years went by, a few months short of my 15th birthday. The boys were surfing. The waves were supposed to be at an all-time high. They always were before big storms. On any other given day, I wouldn't miss the opportunity to surf either, but this day was different. My dad was a prominent cardiologist, and my mom was a pharmacist. They were the ultimate power couple. I told the boys I had to watch my 9-year-old brother Hunter while my parents worked late. The truth was, I just wanted to be alone. I heard footsteps descending down the dock, and I didn't have to wonder who it was. Alex pulled off her flip-flops, pulling up her dress to sit beside me on the wooden plank, splashing her feet in the water like me. The day after we caught Lucas and Stacy on the beach, she showed up at church wearing a dress, makeup, and her hair down. It was her way of showing us that she was growing up, too. I told you she always had to keep up with the boys, reminding me that we were one in the same. I glanced up from my drawing to find her with her very own matching notebook, beaming. "What you got there?" I asked, cocking my head to the side. An amused expression was evident across my face. She shrugged, not paying me any mind, turning the cover over to the first page, placing the notebook on her lap. "I'm going to draw, too." I perceptibly nodded, letting her hold on to her pride, knowing that she was just trying to keep up with me. We sat in comfortable silence for a while, just sketching and watching the blue waters, both of us lost in our own thoughts. I peered up from my sketch when the sun started to set, catching a glimpse of Half Pint's drawing from the corner of my eyes. She must have sensed me staring. She blushed, peeking up at me through her lashes. Before I could think twice about it, I blurted out, "Is that your wedding?"
"Maybe,"
she softly whispered, suddenly appearing tinier than she actually was. It didn't take long to recognize the man in the picture. I could see his dark hair and tall frame. The way she captured the look in his eyes when he stared at her and thought no one was watching. Though I still asked, "Who you marrying?" She bit her bottom lip and replied,
"Just a boy."
"Beau?" I stated as a question. She closed her notebook, setting it to the side of her so she could look down at her feet that were now splashing in the water, ignoring my question.
Halfpint, why do you do this to yourself? What do you mean?
She retorted, still focusing solely on her feet.
Hurting yourself, wanting someone you know you can't have. I don't know.
Yes, you do. That made her glance at me.
He kissed me,
she revealed out of nowhere. My eyes widened, surprised.
Like, really kissed me,
she emphasized, nodding to get her point across like it would change something.
When in reality all it did was piss me the fuck off.
I didn't hesitate, viciously spewing, "Before or after he fucked around with Stacy?" She gasped, shocked. Hurt was apparent all over her face by my response. Now, I was no better than the other boys. I did the one thing that I had avoided up to that moment. I hurt her.
They're making love?
She innocently questioned, her big brown eyes showing more emotion than I'd ever witnessed before, all glossy-eyed. There's a lot more to fucking around than just sex, Halfpint.
Oh.
She paused for a few seconds.
So they're doing the other stuff you're talking about, then?
I shook my head, annoyed with I don't know who. Never mind. I closed my notebook and stood, wanting the conversation to be over. She immediately followed my lead.
No! Don't do that! Answer me! Are they doing those things or not, Austin?
Ask him! Ask your beau, I mocked. Her eyes filled up with tears. I wish I could tell you that I felt bad, that I regretted telling her the truth she was too blind to see. I didn't. At least not that time.
She's just a girl, Halfpint. She's just a fucking girl.
She jerked back like I'd slapped her across the face, and then she took a step toward me, invading my personal space, the same one I wanted that day. She gazed deep into my eyes for what felt like a lifetime. My truth that I hid. From her. From the boys. From the world. Especially. From. Me. Stared her blatantly in the face for the first time in our short, complicated lives.
Would you hurt me like that, Austin? Would you hurt me like Beau hurt me? Just for a girl?
I watched how her hair blew in the wind.
How new freckles had formed on the bridge of her nose from the sun. How her lips were parted and her body slightly trembling, waiting on pins and needles for my response. The smell of her sunscreen and cherry lip gloss assaulted my senses, leaving a sense of longing for the little girl in pigtails. The same little girl that would follow her good old boys around everywhere we went. I took in every last detail we loved about her. Yes, I lied. That was my first and biggest mistake.
Briggs, I was almost 12 years old and settling into my new life. Another 3 years had flown by. The life and memories I once knew went right along with it. Every day I remembered my parents less and less. Every day another piece of my heart went missing, disappearing and leaving me with nothing but the hollow, empty space that formed in its place. I read and I wrote a lot. I had a huge collection of books. My otherwise neat room was filled with stacks of novels, stories that were poured out of someone's heart and soul onto a piece of paper for another person's enjoyment. These books were my freedom. Sometimes the books were about epic love, and other times they were deeper than that, life lessons on yellowed paper. My collection was quite impressive, thanks to my uncle, who spared no expense to indulge me. I loved getting lost in the fictional worlds of the author's creations. It took away the pain from my own. My way of escaping. My book friends. Where I was loved, cared for, and cherished. Where there was always a happily ever after, and the hero always ends up with a heroine. Those were my favorite kinds of stories. Except, my story wouldn't be one of those, and I knew that even then. I'd been writing in a journal for the last few years. At first, it was memories of my parents, so I wouldn't forget them. But then, somewhere along the way, I began writing about my feelings and emotions. My journal became more therapeutic than a remembrance of the people I tried to keep so deeply in my heart. Esteban caught me writing a few times, and to my surprise, he never asked to read what I wrote. He never even asked what I was writing. He just called it the window to your soul, which was all he ever said about it. Esteban was a man of very few words, but when he did talk, it meant something. I really liked that about him. He never felt the need to fill the silence with meaningless banter. So when he said something, I really listened, appreciating the wisdom he may have to offer. I'd changed schools 4 more times in the last 3 years, and at the rate I was going, there wouldn't be any more schools to transfer to. A few things changed with my uncle for the better, I guess. He was around a lot more, and we ate dinner together a few nights a week. He asked me how my day was and if there was anything I needed or wanted. That was pretty much the extent of our conversations, but at least he tried. "How was class?" Esteban asked, pulling me away from my thoughts. I started taking a creative writing course outside of school. The instructor was nice, and most of the students kept to themselves, lost in their own thoughts about what they would be writing on the blank pages of the notebooks placed in front of them. "It was good," I answered, looking at his face in the rearview mirror as he drove. "I bet you write better than all your friends." I scoffed. "You're my only friend, Esteban." Our eyes locked through the rearview mirror. "You listen to me, and you're there when I need you. I guess you're my chosen person," I shyly smiled. He didn't falter. "I'm not your friend, Daisy," he informed, catching me off guard. My happy moment was quickly replaced with disappointment. "I'm your bodyguard and driver. I work for your uncle. Don't ever forget that," he rudely added, focusing back on the road in front of him as if I didn't exist. He'd never treated me like that before, and I tried to hide my tears because in my mind, I thought he was my friend. The only one I had.
Chapter 5, Austin.
"That feel good, baby?"
I groaned into her ear, rubbing her clit in slow, progressive circles. For the life of me, I couldn't remember her name. Jennifer? Jenny? Jen something? It's not like I was looking to date her, take her to the goddamn prom, or, God forbid, back home to meet my mama. Her body shuddered beneath mine the harder I moved my fingers on her pussy. She was so fucking wet, and I resisted the urge to bring my fingers up to my mouth to taste her. I claimed her mouth instead, mostly to drown out how fucking loud she was. Not that it mattered how loud we got. The music from the party downstairs was blaring through the speakers below us.
"Right there,"
she panted against my lips. "Here?" I taunted, thrusting 2 fingers inside her. One thing changed that day on the dock with Alex almost a year ago. One very important thing. I didn't give a fuck anymore. 0 fucks given. Fuck 'em and chuck 'em was Dylan's motto. I decided to adopt his attitude, and I swear to God it made my life so much easier. No stress, no drama, no worries, no more of the emotional bullshit and baggage that ran my life with half-pintner good old boys. I did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. If you didn't like it, you could go fuck yourself. Being a pansy-ass follower got me nowhere. And at least now, I didn't have to pretend to be something I wasn't. I didn't have to march in line with my dick tucked between my legs, waiting for the boys to realize I was just like them. Proving to them, I was. I let myself go and enjoyed what life had to offer. I spent way too many years caring about what other people wanted, what other people thought, what other people expected. Years of pent-up frustration came coursing out of me. I'd been caught inside of a wave for far too long. It was only a matter of time until I wiped out.
"Harder, faster,"
she moaned, rotating her hips against my hand. Her pussy got so damn tight as I fucked her with my fingers. Her mouth parted, letting a moan escape. Her soft, wet tongue peeked out. Licking her lips, biting the bottom between her teeth, I took in her soft glow. Her rosy cheeks, the subtle sweat pooling at her temples, watching her tits bounce with each thrust of my hand, the way her back would curve each time I hit her sweet spot, her hands fisted into the blankets beneath us, and her body arched just slightly at the last second as she came all around my fingers. My dick throbbed and balls ached. She smiled, opening her eyes.
"Your turn."
"Is that right?" She nodded, pressing her hands against my chest to flip me over and straddle me. I assumed she was just going to suck my cock, so when she grabbed a condom from her purse, I pretended that I wasn't taken aback. She unbuckled my belt and pulled down my jeans, followed by my boxers. My shirt was already off. My hard cock sprung free, smacking against my stomach. "Wow," she breathed out. My dick twitched from the praise. She seductively smirked as she slid her way down my body, slowly kissing along my abs, only stopping when her face was just above my cock. She looked up at me through her lashes, grinning with glazed eyes and an allure I had only just witnessed. She slipped the head of my dick into her awaiting mouth, using her hand to work my shaft. I lay back with my fingers laced behind my head, watching with hooded eyes as she sucked my cock like she had something to prove, enjoying the sensation she stirred in my balls. It was almost too much. I gripped the back of her neck and pushed her head lower down my shaft until she gagged, making me groan from the vibration. She released my dick with a pop and tried to hand me the condom. I shook my head no. She understood my silent order and ripped it open with her teeth, sliding it down my length in one swift movement. Crawling up my body in a slow, steady stride, she hovered above me, waiting in anticipation for my next move. I didn't falter. Grabbing my cock, I angled it toward her opening, and she effortlessly slid down. Her pussy was so fucking tight. My eyes shut, and my head fell back against the pillow, taking in the feeling of her warm heat wrapped around me. I clutched her hips, guiding her down my shaft. "Fuck," I growled loud and hard.
"Jesus, you're as big as some of the seniors. Are you sure you're only a freshman?"
I ignored her stupid question. Leaning forward, I pulled her toward me by the nook of her neck. Our lips collided, rough and eager. I sucked her tongue in my mouth when she started to ride the shit out of my cock. Back and forth, up and down, keeping a steady rhythm like a goddamn pro.
"Fuck, you feel good,"
I groaned in between kissing her. It fueled her desire to work me over harder and more aggressively. Each sway of her calculated hips hitting every spot that drove me closer and closer to the edge of release. I couldn't hold back any longer. It felt so fucking good. I flipped us over, needing to control the movements before I blew my load in less than a few minutes. She placed her legs on my shoulders.
"Like that. It feels so much better like this,"
she panted, mimicking my breathing. I pounded the fuck out of her tight, wet pussy. In and out. Forcefully, urgently, demandingly. I took what I needed, and she gave what she wanted.
"I'm gonna come,"
I huskily groaned.
"Me too. I'm almost there,"
she moaned loudly. The second I felt her tighten around me, I came so fucking hard that I saw stars. I fell on top of her, sweat dripping from both our bodies, her legs sliding off my shoulders. We both lay there, breathless, our hearts beating rapidly. Lost in our own thoughts, I was sure. I pulled out my cock and got off the bed, walking in the bathroom to get rid of the condom. When I came back into the room, the smell of smoke assaulted my senses. She was sitting up against the headboard, a thin white sheet covering her body. She looked like an angel, even though I knew she was anything but. Her thumb and index finger held what appeared to be a rolled-up cigarette, firmly placed between her lips. She sucked in long and hard, holding in the smoke for a few seconds before exhaling slow and steady. There was something seductive about the way she did it. I stood there and watched her take another drag, observing the picture that was being painted in front of me with a hypnotic allure that drew me toward her instead of leaving the room like I probably should have.
"Want a hit?"
she purred, extending her hand in my direction. I'd never done drugs before, but that didn't stop me from contemplating doing it. I sat next to her on the bed, not bothering to get dressed.
"Sex and weed are always a great combination,"
she added, taking one more hit before handing me the joint. I took one last look at the random chick in front of me and then closed my eyes.
All I saw was her face.
Bringing the joint up to my lips, wanting to forget I just had sex for the first time with a girl
I didn't crave.
Briggs. I stared down at the blood on my panties for I don't know how long. thinking maybe if I looked at it long enough, it would magically disappear or something. It didn't. I was 12 and I had just gotten my period for the first time. I didn't have a clue what to do about it. It wasn't like I had a mother or any other female around to guide me. I lived with men. Normally, I probably would have asked Esteban to help me, but ever since that day in the car, he barely spoke to me anymore. I was a job to him, and he started treating me like one. I jumped suddenly from a loud, hard knock on the door.
Briggs? What the hell are you doing in there? You've been in there for almost an hour.
Uncle Alejandro barked through the door, surprising me that he even noticed. I didn't answer him. What was I supposed to say? I glanced around the room, hoping the floor would swallow me whole. I wasn't that lucky. I immediately pulled up my panties and slid down my skirt. Taking a deep breath, I opened the door, but my eyes remained down on the ceramic tiled floor.
What the fuck?
I'm bleeding, I murmured.
Peladita, what part of look me in the eyes when I'm talking to you is so hard for you to fucking understand?
I instantly looked up at him with annoyance written all over my face, head cocked, nostrils flaring, lips pursed, with my hands in fists at my side.
Is that all you care about? Fine. I'm looking you in the eyes and telling you I'm bleeding. Better?
Maybe my period made me stupid?
You watch your fucking tone with me, little girl, he sneered, looking me up and down. What did you do? Cut yourself?
I scoffed.
No, I didn't cut myself. I'm 12 years old and a female. You're a smart guy, put two and two together.
He opened his mouth, probably to yell at me, but quickly shut it when he realized what I was implying. He did it a few more times, looking at me speechless, which only added to my frustration.
Are you just going to stand there and be all... you?
I asked, pointing at him. Because the longer we stand here, the more the blood keeps coming. He put his hand out in front of him, shushing me.
Enough!
Well, then help me! I don't know what to do!
I pleaded with desperation in my tone.
Why are you telling me this? Why don't you tell your nanny? She's a woman.
I sighed. She doesn't like me.
And you think I do?
His words didn't faze me. The feeling was mutual.
In this case, you're the lesser evil.
Without another word, he pulled out his phone, turned around, and started to walk away, completely ignoring my rant. I followed close behind, assuming I was supposed to. He made his way into his office, still not acknowledging me. I sat down in one of the chairs in front of his desk.
Don't get too comfortable, he snapped.
Sí, señor,
Esteban announced, walking into the office before I could give any thought to what he'd said to me.
Oh, God, please, please, please don't let him do what I think he's about to.
La pelada se desarrolló,
Uncle crudely revealed. The girl just got her period for the first time. His phone rang.
She's your job. You deal with it.
He nodded at Esteban, answered his phone, and left. I sat there in shock, completely silent. Embarrassment couldn't even begin to describe how I felt. I wanted the floor to cave in and swallow me whole. I stared at the doorway for I don't know how long after he left. My face burned from humiliation and anger that he would do this to me. I finally glanced over at Esteban, who was frozen in place, awkwardly rubbing the back of his neck for comfort. He did the same thing my uncle did. He opened his mouth a few times to say something, but nothing ever came out.
So, are you...
He narrowed his eyes at me, confused.
I mean, does it...
What? Fuck. He stressed the last word, and it was the first time I heard him cuss.
I don't know.
He cocked his head to the side.
I mean,
I shrugged.
I don't know what to do.
Me and you both, kid.
He laughed nervously.
Do you happen to have a wife or girlfriend or someone I could maybe talk to?
He shook his head no.
No friend that's a girl?
I added, stunned. He shook his head no again. The realization that Esteban and I might have had more in common than I thought was a bigger rude awakening than getting my period.
Can you walk?
He asked, pulling me away from my thoughts.
Yeah, I got my period. I'm not incapacitated.
We both grinned.
Come on, smartass. I guess we go to the pharmacy. We can't be the only dummies that have ever walked in there with this problem.
I went to the bathroom before we left to add more toilet paper to my panties. I felt like I was wearing a diaper the entire time, but to my surprise, the pharmacist behind the counter was very understanding. She said her daughter was around my age, and she went through the same thing with her a few days prior. I breathed a sigh of relief. She didn't ask me any questions as we walked down the feminine aisle. She just stopped every few steps to show me all the different kinds of tampons and pads I could use, explaining which one she thought would be best for me. She even went as far as pulling out a pamphlet that demonstrated how to insert it. She told me that I needed to start seeing a gynecologist because I was becoming a woman, and the doctor could further explain what would start happening to my body.
"Everything okay?" Esteban asked as he saw us making our way back to the counter.
She put her arm around me in a comforting gesture. "Everything is perfectly fine. It's nice of you to help your sister out. We don't see that often. It's usually the moms that deal with these kind of situations," she said.
"He's not my..."
"No problem," cut me off. I didn't give any thought on why he interrupted me. I'd had enough drama in the previous few hours. I took a long, hot shower when I got home, threw away my ruined underwear, and used the dreaded tampon, wanting to forget about the day from hell. Wishing my mom was there with me. I gasped, placing my hand over my heart when I walked back into my bedroom. My uncle was sitting on the armchair in the corners of my room.
"Don't you knock?"
"It's my home," he simply stated.
"Yeah, well, it's my bedroom,"
I responded while holding onto my towel for dear life. He was over to me in three strides, almost knocking me over.
"I'm going to overlook that you're acting like a disrespectful puta because of the changes you're going through."
He leaned in close to my face.
"But if you speak to me like that again, I have no problem letting you meet the man behind the expensive suit."
I jerked back, swallowing hard, immediately understanding his subtle threat.
"Now,"
he stepped back and I let out the breath I didn't realize I held.
"Esteban says everything was taken care of."
I bit my tongue and just nodded.
"I've made an appointment with a female doctor for you."
My eyebrows lowered.
"How did you..."
"It's next week, after you're done with that bitch-causing thing."
With that, he turned and left. I changed into some sweatpants and a t-shirt, getting ready to climb into bed, when I saw a glass of water and two ibuprofen sitting on my nightstand next to my book. I chuckled, shaking my head in amazement.
Chapter 6. Austin. The boys, Alex, and I sat around the fire pit on the beach, bullshitting and shooting the breeze. It was the annual 4th of July festival in Southport. The entire street closed down for the parade and the fireworks display. After the festivities, there was always a party happening down at the beach. We were spending our last night together before the boys left for Ohio State in the morning, leaving Alex and I behind.
"I can't believe you boys are leaving me,"
Alex whispered in a sad voice.
She was sitting between Lucas and Aubrey, Dylan's girlfriend.
Normally, Lucas would have pulled her to his side, comforting her, and she would have leaned into his embrace, appreciating his comfort and loving his warmth, except too much had happened between them now. A lot changed in the last 2 years, including Alex having a new guy friend. His name was Cole Hayes. He was from California, vacationing with his parents in Oak Island for the past 2 summers. Alex started working at her parents' restaurant the summer before she entered high school, and as luck would have it, he happened to sit in half-pint section one afternoon while we were surfing. He'd been a pain in the ass ever since. She chose to work for reasons that I already knew, but she never voiced. When I saw Alex walking down the beach with Cole beside her an hour prior, I was shocked, to say the least. She never went to these things. Parties weren't her thing. "You still have me, half-pint?" I reminded her, sitting on the other side of the pit.
"Thank God for that," she breathed out, "or else I would be completely losing it."
She crawled her way over to me, wrapping her arms around my waist, her face tucked securely against my chest. I kissed the top of her head as she lay in my arms. I could sense Lucas's glare, but still felt the need to look up at him. To my surprise, it wasn't a look of jealousy or anger like I expected. There was longing, as if I held his entire world in my arms. For the first time, we were on opposite sides of the fence, and I would be lying if I said it didn't make me feel good to finally be the one that wasn't standing on the wrong side. I never imagined anyone could break Lucas and Alex's bond. I would have bet my life on it. There were plenty of boys that were interested in Half Pint throughout the years, but they all knew she came with baggage. 4 of them. Cole showed up out of the blue one day, making it known that he was interested in our girl, and not giving a shit what we thought about it. I didn't know whether to beat the shit out of him like the boys wanted to, or shake his goddamn hand. He was in love with Alex. It didn't surprise me. Alex was hard not to love. He put up with all of us boys because she didn't give him a choice. At the end of the day, we would always be her good old boys, and for some reason, that had always been good enough for me. Dylan hugged Aubrey closer into his chest, her back pressed up against him with her head tilted to the side, resting on his shoulder. Both of them watched the flames of the fire, lost in their own thoughts. Dylan had started showing interest in the new girl, Aubrey, 2 years ago, and to be honest, I was still dumbfounded by it. He was a bigger whore than I was. He pretty much chased her down until she finally gave in, challenging him to keep his dick in his pants for a month before she agreed to go on a date with him. They'd been together ever since. What was once a happy-go-lucky relationship turned into something volatile a few years later, only proving to me that love was a bunch of fucking bullshit. And Jacob? Well, he was another story. One that I would learn soon enough, showing me how much of a hypocrite son of a bitch he really was. Alex took a sip of her drink. Take it easy on that, Lucas warned, his eyes still intently placed on us. Alex wanted to forget. She wanted to rebel. She wanted to prove something to us. And that's why she was drinking in the first place. As much as I hated to admit it, Lucas was right. But I was the last person that had any right to tell her what to do, so I just grabbed the drink out of her hands and finished it off for her instead. Yeah, I'm a fucking hypocrite, too.
Ugh! Alex protested. I'll just go get another one.
She stood, losing her balance. Aubrey grabbed hold of her.
I'll go with you.
She knowingly winked down at Dylan.
Aubrey loved our half-pint, too. Her and Cole were both 17 like me, and going into their senior year of high school as well. To be honest, I really liked Aubrey. She was good for Dylan, kept him on his toes and put up with all his bullshit. He was lucky to finally find someone who would. Aubrey was the best thing to walk into his life. They were meant to be together. We watched them leave. You all right over there, McGraw? I asked Dylan, who was gazing at Aubrey with the same yearning that Lucas displayed for Alex.
Just fucking peachy, brother, he replied, shaking his head. How about you? How you holding up? You ready to run this fucking town without us?
Been doing that since the day I was born. We all smiled.
I know, I taught you well,
Jacob chimed in, cracking his neck. I chuckled. Lucas still hadn't taken his eyes off Alex. He wasn't paying us any mind.
You're the last one left, Austin,
Dylan said out of nowhere, catching me off guard. I turned from the fire to look at him, not sure where it was going with this.
I know we all give you shit for being the youngest, and you used to be the smallest. Come to think of it, there was a time when I thought Half-Pint might be bigger than you,
he grinned. Asshole, I muttered, holding back my own grin.
But you grew up, he added with a sudden serious expression. And you're up, brother. We're not going to be around, and Half-Pint is going to need you now more than ever, especially since this is her last year before she's really alone.
I nodded, understanding.
She's your responsibility. You watch out and take care of our girl, Jacob added.
Of course, I vowed. Jacob nudged my shoulder.
Won't be the same without you, bro.
Ain't that the truth? Dylan stood.
But enough of this sappy shit. I feel like kicking someone's ass in a game of beer pong.
You're on, fucker, Jacob challenged.
Dylan stopped in front of me to do our usual handshake, patting me on the shoulder. Jacob followed his lead and they left. Lucas and I found ourselves sitting in uncomfortable silence for what seemed like a lifetime, staring at the flames and the sparks soaring up into the dark sky. There were no stars out. There was barely a moon. The wind blew all around us, mimicking the waves of the ocean. I immediately wondered if the boys would miss this. It was all we'd ever known. All I knew was that I wanted out of this town.
You know they're right, Lucas declared, breaking the silence and bringing my attention back to him.
His intense stare hadn't wavered from Alex, who was giggling like a little girl hanging all over Cole.
"She's drunk," he stated, taking the words right out of my mouth. I shook my head, taking a deep, long breath, not knowing how to reply.
"Fuck,"
he whispered to himself, bowing his head and running his hand roughly through his hair.
"Lucas? I didn't think it was going to be this fucking hard, leaving her with you. We all love her just as much as you do."
He peered up at me with a look I recognized and understood all too well.
I didn't falter.
"It was your choice to go away to college.
No one put a fucking gun to your head ordering you to move to Ohio. You're leaving her with me because you chose to. So if that's eating away at your conscience, it's no one's fucking fault but your own."
He scoffed. "That girl over there," he gestured toward Alex, who was still draped over Cole, "is my fucking world, and don't you ever forget that," he roared through gritted teeth.
I chuckled, shrugging. "I'm not the one leaving her, Bo," I declared, adding fuel to the fire. He jerked back like I had hit him.
"Tread carefully, Austin," he sneered, standing, taking a step closer to me. I stood, too. We were a foot apart.
It didn't matter that there were people everywhere around us. Neither one of us backed down.
For a few seconds in time, we forgot that we were brothers. Best friends, playing on the same damn team.
"Get the fuck out of my face, Lucas,"
I cautioned through gritted teeth and a clenched jaw, ready to knock him on his ass if needed.
"She's better off without you here. But don't worry, Bo. I'll take care of our girl."
"You son of..."
"Hey,"
Alex wobbled, stepping in between us.
"What's going on?"
She slightly slurred with a lazy smile.
I pulled her toward me before she fell,
bringing her into my arms.
She rested her head on my chest and wrapped her arms around me, sighing contentedly. Lucas glared at me one last time before stepping back, surrendering his hands, placing some much-needed distance between us.
"Where you going, Bo? You're not supposed to leave until tomorrow." "I don't want you to leave,"
she jumbled, completely oblivious to what was going on with us. "I'll always come back, Half Pint."
Lucas backed away, pointing his finger in my direction, and warned,
"Don't fuck it up."
Alex peered at me, distracting me from Lucas. She had glossy eyes, rosy cheeks, and a sluggish smile, obviously having a hard time focusing on my face.
"You changed, Austin,"
she said out of nowhere, catching me off guard.
"Half Pint,
you used to be such a nice boy. A very, very, very nice boy. You're not that boy anymore, and that makes me sad."
"Alex, you're drunk," she slowly nodded.
"I don't like new Austins. He uses girls and causes troubles. That's not you. Not my boy. Brings him back."
She hugged me closer, her face pressed into my chest.
"Okay."
I kissed the top of her head, looking over at Lucas, who hadn't moved from the place he stood, only confirming her boy was gone, and he wasn't coming back.
Briggs. "Oh, come on, Esteban. Just watch the movie with me," I coaxed, patting the couch next to me. "It's Friday night, and we both know you don't have any friends," I teased. "What are you going to do? Go hide out in your room? Come on, I know you want to. What guy would want to watch The Shining?" He raised his eyebrows. "It's almost Halloween. I'm trying to get into the spirit. Hang your gun up and take a load off. See what I did there? Gun? Load?" I wiggled my eyebrows. He chuckled, shaking his head. "My uncle's gone, and who the hell knows when he'll be back this time. So you don't have to play guard dog for me tonight. I ordered pizza. I have popcorn, gummy bears, and snowcaps," I said, pointing to the assortment of snacks on the coffee table. "All food groups. Plus, we don't have to go anywhere. Now sit down and watch the damn movie with me." He looked down at me skeptically and then sat down on the other couch. "When did you become so bossy?" "Peer pressure. I'm around my uncle all the time. I'm far too sensitive," I stated, pulling my blanket over me and popping a gummy bear in my mouth. He laughed, big and throaty,
I smiled, biting my lip. Why do you pretend you don't like to hang out with me? I'm kind of a big deal. I'm not your Yes, I know. We're not friends. You work for my uncle. Yada, yada, yada. I got it. But I paused for effect. You're my bodyguard slash driver, so that means you work for me too. I grinned, all proud of myself. When did you get so smart? It comes with age. You're 14. I shrugged. Yeah, but I've been through a lot. It's kind of like dog years, so I'm really like 100 and something, I explained, counting on my fingers. 98, he answered. That's what I said. The last few years had been uneventful. We'd all fallen into a comfortable routine, and I was thankful for that. God knows I had enough drama to last me a lifetime when I first moved in. I guess Esteban was right. Things did get easier as more time went by. I just hadn't figured out if that was a good or bad thing. It had been 2 years since I'd last changed schools. I wish I could tell you that I was happy staying in one place, but it didn't change the fact that I was alone. I hated school. I hated my teachers. I hated the students. Nothing about my life was normal. I had no parents, no friends, no one to talk to. I was around men and adults all the time, and I began to think that was maybe the reason I stopped trying to make any friends. It was pointless. I still read and wrote a lot. I spent most of my time with the fictional characters I'd grown to love from the pages of my books. But with age came wisdom, or however the hell you say that. I knew my uncle was involved in some sort of shady-ass shit. I had a bodyguard who hardly let me out of his sight for more than a few minutes, and that was only when I had to use the bathroom, or we were in the penthouse. There was also the fact that every man my uncle brought around, which seemed to be few and far between, were all packing heat. Every last one. The pizza arrived shortly after I ordered it, and Esteban insisted he'd go get it from the door. He set the pizza on the coffee table while I went and grabbed us some sodas. I smirked, nudging him with my shoulder when he moved to sit beside me so that he was closer to the food. No one warned me that The Shining wasn't your typical horror movie with a killer who was an actor dressed in costume and made up like Freddy Krueger or Jason. I was prepared for that. The storyline in this movie could actually happen in real life, and that scared the absolute living shit out of me. At one point, I jumped and screamed so loud that I pretty much ended up in Esteban's lap. To tell you the truth, I wasn't even embarrassed about it. I even considered staying in his strong arms. I'd known Esteban for 8 years. As much as he reminded me that he wasn't my friend, a part of me knew that he was. It was just part of his job to tell me that he wasn't. At least that's what I hoped for. I was a young girl, a teenager, well on my way to becoming a woman. It was easy to get lost in the romance fantasy that I read in my books and imagine real life being that way. Over the last few months, I'd found myself thinking about Esteban in ways that I never had before, in ways that I probably shouldn't have. But that still didn't stop me. You couldn't blame me. It's not like I was around guys my own age. They steered clear of me as much as my uncle did. Esteban was handsome, with blue eyes, tan skin, and dark brown hair. He was as tall, built, and muscular like my uncle, and only wore suits like him, too. What are you thinking about over there? He asked, startling me away from my thoughts. Hmm? I replied, tearing my eyes away from the movie to look over at him, heat spreading across my cheeks. You went from being scared to lost in thought. I narrowed my eyes at him and blurted, Shouldn't you be watching the movie instead of me? He cleared his throat and peered back at the TV. I don't know why I said that, I whispered, loud enough for him to hear. Esteban suddenly stood to leave. I knew what he was doing. He wanted to put some distance between us. I shocked us both when I shouted, No! Gripping his wrist, I held him in place. He looked down at my grasp. Please don't leave. Our eyes locked, and I immediately let go. I'm tired of being alone, Esteban, I admitted out loud for the first time. I don't have any friends. I barely see my uncle. I have no one. I shifted on the couch to face him. I know you said you're not my friend, but that doesn't mean that I don't see you as one. You're the only person I have. He frowned. Esteban wore his emotions on his sleeve. I could physically see his heart breaking for me. I hardly knew anything about him, but for some reason I felt like I knew everything. Daisy. Briggs, why do you insist on calling me Daisy? I questioned, surprised with the turn in events. It's your name, he simply stated, Daisy died the day she killed my parents. She doesn't exist anymore. He jerked back, stunned. It was a car accident. You had nothing to do with that. I caused it. The driver in the other car caused it. I shook my head no. That's not how I remember it. You had nothing to do with your parents' death. Do you understand me? Nothing. He argued in a stern tone I'd never heard before. I stood, looking deep into his eyes, and spoke with conviction. Have you ever killed anyone?
Chapter 7. Austin. I had been staring at the letter on my desk all morning. It didn't look as pristine as it did 3 months ago. I don't know how many times that I had folded and unfolded it, reading the same lines over and over again, still not finding the courage to bring it up to my parents.
It is our pleasure to inform you that your application for admission to the School of Art and Design at Pratt Institute for the fall semester has been approved. We congratulate you on your acceptance and look forward to having you begin your professional studies at Pratt. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would get in. Not a chance in hell they would accept my application. I'd known about Pratt's School of Art and Design since I was a kid. Anyone with the kind of passion I had for drawing knew that this was the school to attend if you wanted a career in arts. They were the number one art school in the U.S., receiving thousands of applications. Getting in was a miracle itself. My parents had been on my ass about college and applying to schools for months. I finally applied to a few, including Ohio State, just to get them off my ass. The truth was I didn't even want to go to fucking college. But Pratt? That was different. Being the number one art school, I thought maybe that bit of information would sway my parents' opinion on the subject. So I applied. My GPA was decent, even though school wasn't really my thing. I had already started a portfolio of my drawings, years of adding sketches upon sketches into it. All I was required to do was to send in my application with a few sketches, some letters of recommendation, which my art teachers were more than happy to provide, and an application fee. I shoved my packet into the mailbox one morning before school and didn't give it a second thought. I started to check the mailbox on a daily basis so I could intercept the mail from the schools I had no interest in attending. I would throw away the response letters without even opening them. I didn't care if I got in. I wasn't going to Stanford or Florida State or whatever other fucking school they made me apply to. I tried to voice my opinion, but I could never get a word in. And if I did, it was in one ear and out the other. My parents weren't bad people, but they were overachievers, always needing the best of the best and wouldn't settle for anything less. Out of all our families, mine was the best off financially. My parents had to have nice things. We lived in a big house in a high-end gated community. They were VIP members at the country club. They had new cars every year. We went on expensive vacations. The whole nine yards. To me, they were just keeping up with the Joneses. I couldn't tell you how many times the boys and Half Pint's parents fucked with my parents, saying that they worked too much, that we didn't own our things, they owned us. I knew at the end of the day they wanted what was best for me, not thinking that maybe I already knew what that was. They were suffocating me, and they didn't even realize it. In their eyes, everything was the way it was supposed to be, which was why I had been holding on to the acceptance letter for the last 3 months, debating on telling them, praying every day that they would be supportive of my decision, even though I knew in my heart they would shut it down. All my life I felt like my parents, the boys, and maybe even Alex, were all trying to mold me into something I wasn't. Something they wanted me to be. I never felt accepted. I never felt good enough. And that's what killed me the most.
That's what ate away at me, piece by piece.
At the end of the day, I needed to make myself happy. Life was too short, you only live once, and all that other bullshit. I wanted to make the best of it. I grabbed the letter off my desk along with my art portfolio. No one knew about my talent except Alex. I wanted to keep it to myself, and maybe that was my first mistake. For the first time in my life, I had to show everyone who I was, and I was scared shitless. I would start with my parents. They loved me,
and I knew that. I just hoped they loved me enough to let me come into my own. If I wanted them to accept me for who I was or who I wanted to be, I guess I should start by giving them a chance.
Austin, there you are, honey. I was about to call you down. Dinner's almost ready. Will you help me set the table?
I nodded, placing the letter and portfolio on my chair. We sat down shortly after for dinner, and I waited until my dad asked me his usual dinner-time questions.
How was school?
Fine.
Have you heard back on any more colleges?
Honey, I thought we decided he was going to go to Ohio State with the boys,
my mama interjected.
It's a great school, and he wants to be with his friends. I think it'd be good if they all stayed together. You know, Austin has always needed a leader.
My eyes widened, but I quickly recovered, glancing over at my 13-year-old brother, Hunter. He shook his head, just as shocked as I was.
Darla, it would be good for the boy to broaden his horizons. He can't always be following around the boys. He's never gotten to come out of their shadows.
I know, honey, but he needs them. He's always needed them. They will look out for him. They always have.
I scoffed. You guys do realize I'm sitting right here, right? They always did this, talking about me like I wasn't in the damn room. Can't you at least wait until I leave the room before you point out more things I can't do?
Austin,
Mom coaxed.
We don't mean it like that. You're the baby of the group. The boys have always been, well, you know, honey, more mature and stuff. It's normal for us to worry.
I scoffed. Mature? Are you for real?
Austin, watch your tongue, Dad ordered.
I would never rat out my boys, but fuck, if my parents only knew. I'm sorry. Mom smiled and Dad shook his head. Now was as good a time as any.
About college, I said, wiping my mouth with my napkin, bringing their attention back to me. I got accepted into another school, one I really want to attend.
They beamed. I'd never said I wanted to go to any college before.
It's in New York. I didn't know you applied to NYU. That's an amazing university. I'm so proud of you, Austin.
She rambled on.
Brooklyn, New York, I clarified. It's Pratt Institute, School of Art and Design. They both jerked back, confused. It's actually the number one art school in all of the country, and I honestly don't know how I got accepted, but I set the letter in front of them and finished.
I did.
My dad picked up the letter off the table and read it over, with Mom hovering over his shoulder to read too, both of their faces void of any emotion. I waited.
Art school, Austin? Where is this coming from? You've never showed any interest in arts,
she stated, smiling, holding back a laugh. Actually, I have. I sat up in my seat, grabbing my portfolio that was sitting beside me. My heart was pounding, and my palms were getting sweaty. I swallowed the lump in my throat and pulled back the cover, showing them the first few sketches. Their faces were the blank canvas I was used to drawing on. They took in the sketches that had bled out through my hands. But I still couldn't read them at all. My mom grabbed the notebook from my trembling hands and continued turning pages, one after the other, running her fingers over the illustrations, realizing what I had kept from them.
I've been drawing since I could hold a pencil, Mom, I added, trying to gain a response.
My art teachers wrote my letters of recommendation. I actually think they were the reason I got in. They've been telling me I have a God-given talent since elementary school.
They never told us,
Mom interrupted, taken aback. I shrugged. I wanted to say it was because they never bothered to go into their rooms during parent night, that they always said electives didn't matter, but I bit my tongue. It wouldn't help my case. Mom flipped page after page after page until she was almost to the end. Nothing.
I have some more sketches up in my room. I'll go...
No, Dad snapped, locking eyes with me.
I'll just be a minute.
I don't need to see any more of this garbage, Austin. Is this why you're an average student?
He pulled my portfolio out of my mom's hand, throwing it in the middle of the table. It rattled the dishes.
Dad, it's not...
He put his finger up in the air, silencing me. I swallowed hard.
Money on tutors, money on after-school help, after-school SAT practice courses. Do you want me to go on?
We have spent thousands of dollars to get you the best education, and this is why you're always struggling? Because you spend more time on a hobby? You spent all this time with your head up in the goddamn clouds when it should have been focused on your homework?
Joseph,
he put his hand out in front of my mother, silencing her as well. This is an out-of-state private school, Austin. You think we're going to pay for that?
I don't know, Dad. You were going to pay for the other 10 out-of-state private schools you made me apply to?
He leaned back into his chair, shaking his head.
Yes, for an education, for a profession, for your future.
This is my future. This is what I want to do with my life,
I argued through gritted teeth. Anger began to take over me.
To become what, Austin? A starving artist who will always rely on us to pay his bills? What will you do in your long-term future, Austin? Do you think an art degree will help you raise a family one day?
Dad, that's...
Hunter, go to your room, he ordered, not letting my brother finish. The last thing I want is your brother rubbing off on you.
Dad?
Hunter, just go,
I broke in, giving him a sympathetic stare. He left.
Austin,
I glanced back at my dad.
We're not paying for this. Do you understand me? You're not going to Pratt. End of story. I realize now that you don't want to even bother with college, so I won't force you to go to an Ivy League school. It'll be a waste of your time and my money. But so help me God, you will go to Ohio State and get some kind of degree that will earn you a living. If you choose Pratt, you'll have to carry your own weight.
They were killing my soul, crushing my dreams without even batting an eye about it.
I immediately resented them for trying to mold me into their liking, not mine.
How am I supposed to pay my way? I can't even apply for financial aid. You don't think I looked into it? You guys make too much money. You're literally my last resort. Why can't I use my college fund for Pratt? I will even get a job and rent an apartment on my own. I'll take care of all my own expenses. All I ask is for you to pay for my school. Please. I've never asked for anything. This is important to me. This is what I want for my future.
This conversation ends now, Austin. I've said my piece. End of story.
They weren't taking this away from me. Not now. Not ever. I had never disrespected my parents. I was raised better than that. But in that moment, in that second, they weren't acting like my parents. They were complete fucking strangers.
And here I thought you would actually be happy and excited for me,
I mocked. He shook his head, disappointed.
Happy and excited for you? To see you want to throw away your life on a hopeful dream that won't get you anywhere but asking for spare change on the side of the road? Unbelievable. How about you show your mother and I some respect for everything we've done for you?
I didn't know that respect was earned off my major, old man. That's a lot to ask of a college, don't you think?
Austin, Mom warned. I laughed.
I'm sorry. I forgot I still live under your roof. I follow your rules or else.
You remind me daily I should have it memorized by now. He instantly stood and was over to me in two strides, right in my face, grabbing my T-shirt in his fist.
Listen to me. If it weren't for your mother, I would cut you off the second you graduate from high school. But I'm giving you a chance to straighten out, even though all you do is cause trouble, whether at school with your teachers or classmates or all the girls you hang around with. We give you everything. Everything, and you shit all over it. I'm surprised you haven't knocked someone up yet.
I snidely smiled.
Well, you did one thing right by me. You taught me that I should always wrap it up.
Congratulations. I know how to put on a condom. He didn't falter.
You make it hard to want you as my son, he viciously spewed, instantly regretting his words.
My mama's jaw dropped, surprised by his outburst. I would be lying if I said it didn't shock me, too. He just confirmed what I always knew. I was a fuck-up in their eyes, not worthy enough to be their son. All I ever wanted was for them to accept me for who I was and welcome me with open arms. And this was exactly why I spent my life hiding behind my secrets. I knew they wouldn't accept me.
Except I never thought it would hurt this goddamn much for them to confirm what I already knew in my heart.
Wow! I stepped back out of his grasp, hands surrendered, head shaking. I could see it in his eyes. He wanted to apologize, take back his hateful words. But that wasn't my father. He remained the solid man he always was, breathing heavy with flared nostrils and a look of pity on his face. I backed away from the situation before I really said something I regretted. Run along, son. Which one of your girls or parties am I paying for tonight? Huh? He yelled as I stormed out, slamming the door behind me. I walked around aimlessly for a while until I remembered the boys were in town for the weekend, and I knew just where to find them.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Dylan asked as I walked up to him and the rest of the boys on the beach.
You look like someone just took a shit in your cereal.
I handed him the letter, too pissed off to explain. If anyone could understand, it would be the boys. Dylan lowered his eyebrows, taking it out of my hand. Jacob and Lucas hovered around him to read it, too. I stood there, drawing circles in the sand with my foot, glancing up at their expressions, wondering which way this would go.
Art school? Jacob questioned, looking back up at me. When the fuck did you learn how to draw?
Doesn't fucking matter. My parents won't pay for it. Looks like I'm going to Ohio State with you guys.
Austin, come on, man. Do you honestly want to go to art school? Or is this you just trying to rebel over something else?
Lucas chimed in.
Art school sounds like a whole bunch of pussies drawing out their feelings and shit. That's not you. Besides, what the fuck are you going to do with an art degree?
Dylan added.
What do you know about art school? Have you been there?
I snapped. They laughed. They fucking laughed.
This is a joke, right? You're fucking with us.
Jacob chuckled.
We all know you want to come to Ohio State, Austin. We're there. You've been following us around since you could walk.
I jerked back like he had hit me. Wow. They faltered, their expressions quickly changing to something I couldn't quite place.
Is that right? I've been following you around. Good to know. He's just fucking around. Why are you being such a pussy? You bleeding out now?
Dylan laughed some more.
Don't go turning into a bitch on us now that we're not around to man you up.
I couldn't believe this. I go to my boys, my brothers, my best friends for some goddamn support, and they proceed to add to my parents' theory, pointing out everything I've ever felt. Every last one of them. Tearing into my insecurities. I wasn't expecting that. Not ever that.
Fuck you! Fuck all you!
I roared, turning around to leave.
All of you can go fuck yourselves! Thanks for the support, bros! Austin, stop being such a bitch! We were fucking with you!
Dylan called out behind me. I didn't bother to look back. It was pointless. The damage was done. Before I knew it, I was sitting on the dock, feet dangling in the warm water, looking off in the distance, reflecting on the day's turn of events, wishing that I had my notebook to take out my frustration on a blank sheet of paper, getting lost in the world of my illusions, creations, and art. But all I could do was sit there and dwell on what had just happened. With my parents. With my friends. I was alone. I hated myself for letting down my guard, allowing them to see my truths I hid so well for so many years that it became second nature. I wanted to hit something. I wanted to scream. I wanted to run away. I wanted to make this fucking feeling go away. I'd give anything to bring back my not-giving-a-fuck attitude that I'd gotten so used to, seeking comfort in myself. All I ever had was that. I owned it. Now, that was torn away from me. I stood pacing the dock, running my fingers roughly through my hair, my anger and nerves set on fire, my body scorching hot, my adrenaline pumping so hard that all I could see was red, and all I could feel was blue. I wanted to claw out of my skin for being so fucking stupid. I paced around the dock, desperately trying to work out this emotional bullshit, when I heard footsteps coming toward me. I didn't have to look up to know who it was. Alex. Half Pint. Her. She was always there for me. Always knew when I needed her. The one person that I could count on. The one person that loved me wholeheartedly. No matter what. Appeared up and there she was. Wearing a white dress.
looking like an angel. So genuine and pure. The heaven to my hell, or so I thought. Her hair cascaded down her face, her back, her breasts. I wanted to get lost in her.
"Hey, you okay?"
she asked, taking in the desperation playing out in front of her. My yearning